Hello and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires we call the interwebs is Joe Crazy Rider. How you doing today, Joe?
I'm distraught. I mean, now that food has replaced sex in my life, I can't even get into my own pants.
Crickets. That's got to be a record. I don't think the crickets have shown up that early in an episode ever.
Right out of the gate. I got to hit the ground chirping.
Hit the ground bombing. So, once again, we'd like to remind everyone that Joe will not be at the comic convention here in Minneapolis this year.
SpringCon Comic Book Celebration, May 19th and 20th, 2010, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., both days in the Minnesota Fairgrounds. And if you get admissions on one day, it's good for the other day. So 100,000 square feet of comic book action, 225 guests, super huge marketplace, free grab bags, 500 the first day, 250 the second. It's going to be a blast. And I'm just not going to be there. But if you need more information, go to MidwestComicBook.com.
Joe's not going to be there. He's leaving me on my own.
Yep.
Left to my own devices.
Yes.
And we know that that could be a problem.
Yep, especially since I believe the redheaded tryouts are at the fairgrounds that same weekend.
So I won't be at the convention. I've gotten comments on this here podcast, Joe.
Uh-oh.
Some people have been saying that they really like the geeking and freaking. One person said that they would like, basically, they would like more stories about the shop. And one person said, you know, Corey, you have yet to talk about your deep love of pie.
Oh, I thought it was the other guy who mentioned, how come we choose from just two people to run for president and over 50 for Miss America?
You know, we get two people for president, which isn't true if you've voted. You've seen there are two people that have a chance. But whenever I go vote, there's like 20 others. And it's like the Powdered Toast Party.
They got my vote.
So we're going to have all kinds of comic stories.
Oh, yeah.
I think we'll jump right into geeking and freaking, though.
Sure, why not?
Because there's some things I'm geeking about and a couple things I'm freaking about. And Geeking and Freaking has a sponsor, too.
Neat.
Yeah. This here show has a sponsor for its Geeking and Freaking segment, and that's BarkCop.com. BarkCop.com is the finest political humor website, no matter what any other website tells you. It's got stories about poker. It's got stories about tequila. It's got stories about politics. And it's got an ad that Bart Cop himself recorded right here.
Hi, my name's Bart, and I got a little radio show over at BartCop.com. We call it the Tequila Treehouse. And on the radio show, we talk about a lot of things. You know, we talk about sports, and we talk about sex, and we talk about TV, and we talk about movies. But really, we're not talking about those things. We're usually talking about the politics of the sports and the sex and the TV and the movies and that. So if you go to BartCop.com, you might get to hear a sample. Actually, the radio show is for the subscribers, but now and then we open it up to the general masses, or we play some snippets on there trying to tease you into subscribing. But that's over at BartCop.com, the Tequila Treehouse. Try it. You might like it.
That's BartCop.com. Proud sponsor of Geeking and Freaking.
Very proud.
The first thing I am geeking about is Kirby, Jack Kirby Collector number 58.
Well, what's wrong with 57?
Well, 58 is a very special issue, Joe.
Oh.
Every issue.
Those announcements at the airport when they say, we have a very special announcement, and they proceed to tell you something that, you know, like, you know, marriage changes passion, suddenly you're in bed with a relative. I mean, you know.
You're just on fire. The crickets are loving you today.
I love crickets. I'm having one of those days, you know. I mean, sometimes I look down at my watch three consecutive times, and I'll still not know what time it is.
Do Jersey does that to a boy.
It does.
Well, Jack Kirby Collector is one of my favorite magazines. It's a huge magazine. It's tabloid size.
Tremendously big.
And the reason for that is they will reprint a lot of Kirby's original pencils. They went to the larger size so they could print them at the size they're drawing.
I mean, it is so big. It's like when I was young, we used to go skinny dipping. Now I just go chunky dunking.
Are you trying out for another show?
Yeah, you know, you're bringing in Bart Kopp and Christy and all these other people. I figure I gotta try to attract a sponsor too.
Jack Kirby Collector's normally a bunch of articles about Kirby. There's usually a theme in every issue, but this issue is different. When you go see it, it doesn't even look like a magazine so much, because what it is, they're printing a book called Lee and Kirby, The Wonder Years, which details the Fantastic Four for the 10 years they worked on it together, from 1961 to 1970. There's other history in there, they give background. There's a lot of stories about what was going on in the comic industry at the time. And if some of you have heard me in the past talk about comic distribution and how that played a much bigger role in the comic book market collapse of the 50s, this book goes into even more detail on it. So, but it's written by Mark Alexander, who unfortunately passed away about a month after he completed the final draft.
Not a good month here. We lost Davey
Jones.
Well,
this was about a year.
We just got news today. Mobius passed away.
Yes.
And what's even sadder, the ship from the Love Boat is about to be demolished. They sold it to a Turkish
company. They're going to put an Italian skipper in charge of it?
Apparently, it'd probably be easier. I mean, they sold it to a Turkish demolition company for $3 million. They're going to gut it, kill it. I think you had the right idea, Corey. Just let the Italians drive it somewhere.
This issue of the Kirby Collector costs a lot more. It's a $20 issue. It's 164 pages. Goes into a lot of behind-the-scenes detail as to what was going on at Marvel, as well as a detailed rundown of every issue Kirby drew of the Fantastic Four, including information about Kirby's state of mind as he was drawing the issues. Gets into a lot of the controversy about who wrote what. I just got done. I'm up to where they're talking about issues 25 and 26, which are the two-part battle with the Hulk, and how Kirby told Mark Evanier that his inspiration for that story was the assassination of President Kennedy. And it's one of those things you don't really think about until you read what Kirby said about it. And then you go back and you read the story and you can see how he was able to take different events, put them into stories in a way you didn't expect. So I'm really geeking on it. I've spent the last 2 days reading it. I'll probably spend the next 2 days reading it. The other thing I am geeking about, it's 67 degrees outside, Joe.
Nice. It was 70 here yesterday.
In Minnesota, 67 degrees on the 10th of March. So when Joe texted me to record, I was sitting on the deck with a big old frosty beverage. I had my MP3 player going with some music and was reading Steve Ditko's Creeper hardcover. And there's nothing in the world I like better than sitting out on the deck with a big, thick comic book and a cold, frosty beverage to enjoy the weather
with. Except maybe spotting a woman wearing a sweatshirt with Guess on it. I looked at her and said, implants? Oh, she hit me really hard.
Yo, you keep this up, the Crickets are going to demand a salary.
Well, you know, maybe they need a sponsor.
I'll put you in charge of that.
Sure.
So, Joe, what are you geeking about?
Well, I haven't hit the comic shop yet as we record. So I'm looking basically at what's coming up. And what I'm really geeking on, something I'm an absolute sucker for. Good old-fashioned crossover.
Uh-oh.
Doctor Who and Star Trek, an IDW crossover coming up. Not too far from this May, I think, isn't it, coming out? Doctor Who, The Next Generation. Or Doctor Who.
Doctor Trek, Who, the next generation.
That could be. Assimilation.
So Doctor Who's going to be replaced by a bald British guy.
Assimilation Squared. It's going to be the Doctor and the crew of the USS Enterprise facing off against the Cybermen and the Borg. Which is actually kind of interesting because the Cybermen and the Borg actually kind of have almost
the same philosophy.
So the art looks good. The writing looks good. There's an article in Comic Book Resources. I was reading about it. And as I haunt Facebook and I go to different places, I put the link to this story up on a Star Trek forum I was on and a Doctor Who forum I was on. And you thought people would have died. I mean, it was basically as people are as excited as Corey being served pie from a large-chested redhead. I'm telling you. A female redhead. I should make that out because, you know, some pie eaters. Ugh. So I am, since I haven't
got. Hold on. I need to leave the room for a moment. I'll be back.
You think I think we had mentioned Death Man or something. So I'm geeking about that. The only other thing I've got is I'm slowly wading through the latest Star Trek novel, paperback, whatever. And, the current one, as I mentioned, Star Trek Voyager, Children of the Storm, which is they're out in the Delta Quadrant again. They went out there to try to figure out what happened to the Borg, because the Borg just up and disappeared. If you've been reading, this is kind of a continuity driven series, since they're probably never going to go back to the original Star Trek universes or actors or anything. So I've been watching that or reading this. And the Children of the Storm, the only thing they know about them so far is that where they live, their planet system, apparently is surrounded by a ring of destroyed Borg cubes. That the apparently when the Borg came to assimilate this species, they got utterly destroyed. Oddly enough, as you know, because it's Voyager, so Seven of Nine's along, she has no knowledge of this species. So whatever they did to the Borg was so horrendous, the Borg just chose to forget it. They chose to forget about it. So, like most books.
Yeah, you have been in Jersey too long.
Yeah. So, listen up, Shiznitz. No, I've been, I start reading these books and I just get moving and moving and it gets so compelling. I've got like maybe 200 pages to finish it. I'll probably finish it tonight once we're done with the podcast. So I've been geeking. That whole series has been good. I've been meaning to pack them up and give them to Corey. You know, if you're not like me and you don't want to be on the cutting edge and pick them up right away, you know, weird thing about Star Trek books, they tend to show up for like a quarter on like half.com or eBay.
Yeah.
Way after, you know, wait a year. But, you know, I'm in Jersey. I got nothing else to do but read Star Trek.
Actually, I've been reading a novel myself. I'm reading the, what is it called? It's a new Elmore Leonard book about Raylan Givens, who's the lead character on Justified. And I like the show, so I'm going back and reading the Raylan Givens novels. And it's amazing how close they are. You know, I know that Elmore Leonard is working on the show, and his son actually works on it, too. I don't know if he's just directing or if he's also story editing. But they really... They dovetail nicely. They actually, the books go into his history while Justified is pretty much takes place after the books. So if you're watching Justified, go grab those books. I think there are three of them. And I will put the name of them in the show description because I don't have them close to me. And if I run out to the car, that'll leave Joe here and God knows what horrible jokes he'll tell.
Oh, come on. It can't be that bad. I mean, it's like I could give you advice. Like, don't argue with an idiot. People watching may not be able to tell the difference.
What's the Jerry Lawler line you always use when you're arguing with somebody stupid, Joe?
Well, you know, I'd agree with you, but then we'd both be wrong. That's one of my faves.
Let's see. Anything else you're geeking on? I hear you got all caught up on Walking Dead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I found out that apparently I can, for $3, I can download the series via iPad or iPod or iStore or whatever the I's they got. I mean, iPad. What is that? Someone took a tampon and put the letter I on it. Here you go, honey. I bought you an iPad. Anyway. The crickets deserve that one. Anyway.
I think the crickets are going to demand a raise.
Well, you know, I never got my $20, so, you know. Anyways. Oh, sorry, just a little tired. I can't remember the last time I wasn't at least kind of tired.
So, I know that I'm working overnight.
Should take back all those times I didn't want to nap when I was younger.
I'm working from 10 p.m. to either 6 a.m. or 9 a.m., depending on if people show up for their morning shift or not. What are your hours? I think you said you get done around 12 or 12:30.
Yeah, they got me on a morning shift, 4:30 to 1. And no, sir, I don't like it. I get used to it. And the one thing that's nice about it, if I was home, I would hate it. But because I'm in bed by like 7, 8 o'clock, you know, in order to at least try to get 5 to 6 hours sleep.
And so you're turning into Howard Stern.
Well, that takes into account the fact that sometime during the night I'm going to wake up and have a half hour to an hour where I just can't get to sleep. So, and it also accounts for the fact that I tend to wake up at 2:30 and stare at the clock for 30 minutes and wonder why the blank I didn't sleep all the way to 3. So.
That gives you all afternoon for comics.
It usually does, you know, because that's what's nice is I get done and then, you know, like before we did this, I got my laundry done. I got, you know, nobody's using the laundry, so I don't have to fight with it. Everybody tries to get their stuff done at night or in the weekend. I do have a comic store less than 10 minutes away from the hotel. There's a Barnes & Noble nearby, you know, the shop for food. You know, so it's not too bad. And it gives me time to work on tough questions like, how the hell are you supposed to fold a fitted sheet? It just doesn't, ugh. But.
I guess what, Joe? I know how to do that now.
Oh, man. And you know, the other problem I have when I'm on the road, I have a hard time deciphering a fine line between boredom and hunger.
That's one of my duties on my overnight, you know, is the laundry.
You said duty.
You know, the longer you're out there, the more I think you're turning into a 12-year-old.
Shirts get dirty. Underwear gets dirty. Pants never get dirty. You can wear them forever.
Well, that was one of the jokes I sent out this week on my Twitter. Wait. You mean you wash blue jeans?
Only when they're depressed.
Yeah, I have to do the laundry on the overnights. And in one of the cottages, they don't do a whole lot on their Sundays, so I end up doing between 11 and 14 loads of laundry. And
do you hear that, usually women? Corey's quite a catch. He knows how to do his own laundry.
I know how to do other people's laundry. I'm learning how to match outfits.
No wonder you're single.
Are you kidding? I know how to do laundry, and I enjoy doing dishes. Why aren't I married?
Yeah, that's a good question.
But no, then at the other cottage, it's usually I only have to do 5 or 6 loads of laundry. And there was one time I came in and the day staff hadn't done any. So I'm, you know, doing laundry all night in between other stuff. And one of the morning staff comes in at 6 o'clock and I'm, you know, they're taking a load and putting it in the dryer and everything. And she starts giving me crap. You know, why don't you do that on the overnight? Why don't you take care of that on the overnight? Thankfully, the other overnight staff kind of stepped in and said, you know, he's done about 12 loads of laundry tonight. No, he hasn't. The day staff didn't do anything. All of the laundry baskets were full. The things in the bathroom, nobody had done any of the towels. And, you know, one of the residents needed clean sheets about 3 times in the night. Well, I know the staff do laundry during the day, so I know that that's just not true. Next day, I come in, I look in the log, says, it has come to my attention that nobody did laundry on Tuesday. This is unacceptable, and blah, blah.
Yeah, then nothing sucks more than that moment during an argument when you realize you're wrong.
Yeah, well, they cover it up by yelling at somebody.
I remember that in kindergarten. We're not going to scold everybody, or the person in... We're going to scold everybody, not just the person who done did it.
So, I'm not putting that on my resume, though, when I put in for HR jobs and business jobs. I can do 16 loads of laundry a day. I can do 16 loads of laundry in 8 hours. What was it? That's another Jerry Lawler line. Whenever JR would say something about, you know, he likes a good slobber knocker, and he'd just go in the game, you know, he's single, ladies. He's single. So, Joe, what are you freaking about?
Let's see. Disney may lose $165 million on John Carter. No. I actually find that kind of funny. Mobius died during a very serious solar flare storms. Even the universe is weeping. No. You know, I don't think I'm freaking about anything, man. Let me just check the old blood pressure. Oh, okay. There's one thing. I disagree with Kay Jewelers. I would bet on any given Friday or Saturday night, more kisses begin with Miller Lite than Kay.
Did you buy a new joke book?
These are just adult truths, you know?
Uh-huh.
I mean, just like today. You never know.
You're trying out a stand-up.
You never know when it will strike.
You're going to an open mic.
You never know.
Somewhere in Jersey.
But there comes a moment at work when you know that you just aren't going to do anything productive for the rest of the day. I usually count at the time I punch in. And the last thing I'm freaking about, can't we all just agree to ignore whatever comes after Blu-ray? I don't want to have to restart my collection again.
Well, I'm not even buying Blu-ray.
You know, they're getting cheap again.
Mark Evanier said, how many damn times do I have to buy Goldfinger?
I figured out something was wrong when I was cleaning out my VHS and I discovered I had like 6 copies of Beatles Hard Day Night. And each one was a little different. I mean, it's one thing when you're watching something like Army of Darkness or Monty Python and the Holy Grail, where they actually make fun of it. Like Monty Python's like, now with an extra 6, 10 seconds, you know, or Army of Darkness is like, yes, we're exploiting it again, or Evil Dead or whatever.
Evil Dead 2, that's the one my friend Tommy, after buying it again, sent an email to Bruce Campbell saying, how many goddamn times am I going to have to buy this movie? Bruce Campbell emailed him back, said, as many goddamn times as we put it out.
One of the main reasons I find myself slowly buying Blu-ray is because depending on the thing, and again, we mentioned a little bit about Walking Dead. We didn't really talk much about it, although I am geeking about it. The extras now are all coming on Blu-ray, which sucks because when I buy something like for my daughter, she really likes the extras. You know, she'll go through the previews, she'll go through the making of, she'll go through whatever. I showed her the different, you know, bonus tracks underneath, like with the actors talking. She really gets into that stuff. But then when I buy just the regular DVD, there's none of that. They give you like a few smatterings of things. You know, so like when Walking Dead finally comes out, I got to decide, do I want to buy the regular version for $5.99 or buy the pimped out version with all the fun stuff for $40? Or do like I usually do, wait a year and pick it up for $10 used somewhere. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
So
now I talked in the past about how I burned through the 4 seasons of Mad Men in about 2 weeks. Each episode on DVD has at least one commentary. Some of them have 2. And I think there are a couple that have 3 different commentaries. And I'm listening to the commentaries now. And I'll tell you what, the commentaries are hilarious. They're running jokes that are just in the commentaries. There's, I don't know how many people have seen the opening, but in the opening, there's a, it's a man falling from a tall building as ads are all around him. Every single actor, writer, producer, director has claimed that they are the person, that the person falling is based on them, including the women.
Nice.
And if it was Christina Hendricks falling, I'd drive out there to catch her. So, freaking! First off, the sales figures have started to come out, and there are only two comics selling better than 100,000 copies in the month of February. That's Justice League and Batman.
Month of February!
The number 10 comic, Batman and Robin number 6, sold 61,602 copies.
In the month of February.
That means that from Justice League number 6 to the number 10 comic, half the sales. The number 10 comic sells half as many copies as the number 1 comic.
In the month of February.
You don't think Conan's going to sue us now, do you?
I think I'm going to drive out there and smack you.
Pick me up some White Castle on the way, will you?
Are you kidding? If I have to drive there, I'm stopping at Tim Hortons.
Oh, now you're talking.
See, number one selling Marvel book is Uncanny X-Men number 6, sold 58,000 copies. That's right. Marvel's number one selling comic in February sold 58,000 copies. That's frightening.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that's scary. Those are scary bad sales.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I mean, one thing I will...
Just as a sidebar, if you saw, you probably saw, Marvel's canning their whole cross-gen bring back because of the same thing. The sales aren't there to justify them doing it.
The last issue of the Mystic miniseries, I think that was the last one, right, Joe? I'm not a big cross-gen guy, but I know the last issue of the last cross-gen miniseries they did sold 6,000 copies. There's no way for Marvel to make a profit on something that sells 6,000 copies unless it's selling for $50.
$50 a copy.
And as we get into this... You know, I've already said on Twitter, and I've probably said on the show, it's really feeling like 1996 to 1999 to me, where, you know, comic sales, the Avengers, a couple of years ago, was selling 100,000 copies. Now it's selling 44,000 copies. Even the Green Lantern books have dropped back to their old sales figures. You know, for all the talk of how the new 52 is... a huge success. Well, we're 6 months into it, and most of DC's books are selling at the level they were before, except for Justice League, Batman, and Superman.
And the only question I have, and I don't know if you can find this, is or are digital downloads increasing at the same time regular sales are going down?
DC is not releasing that information.
See, because that information would be more telling. Because if you find that the people buying print copies are just old farts like you and me, you know, that's one thing. If, you know, digital copies are going up, that would be, I think, something more telling. But, you know, I don't know, because if they're going to be so secretive of it, it's not, there's no way you're going to be able to gauge, you know, just exactly what's happening in the market.
Yeah.
I forget who it was, and I know I linked to it once upon a time, but there was an author, I don't know if it was Mark Miller or who writes Powers. No, that wasn't Bendis. But one of them was talking about, it might have been Miller. Somebody's talking about something they published, and it was available as a download. And they basically were making the same amount of money they did in the comic industry with print copies and the same amount of money in digital. But what they couldn't tell is where in the comic side of things, they could say, well, you sold, you know, 30,000 copies of your book. in the digital side, it would be like, well, you had, you know, 40,000 impressions. It's like, does that mean there was 40,000 downloads that people bought? And they couldn't or wouldn't give him that information. So he had no idea knowing how many people, first of all, what does the impressions mean? Second of all, how many people actually downloaded the book and paid for it?
Yeah.
You know, and it, again, the bottom line is, remember, he's making the same amount of money in both. He was trying to figure out the idea I just came up with. You know, am I gutting one side to support the other, or is this a whole new audience that I probably wouldn't have reached to begin with? And my gut feeling says that this is a new audience that you wouldn't have reached to begin with, just judging by the way my kids react to buying media. I mean, to them, it's no big deal to go. They, you know, go to Best Buy, buy a CD. They're excited. They don't really care, blah, blah, blah. They just as soon jump on the iStore or whatever and download it, because then they have it and they put it in the device and it's on the computer. And, you know, up until recently, you didn't have a record in your iStore. So if you lost your iPod, can't tell you how many my daughters have gone through, then you had to start from scratch. And now you have your account. You can re-download it, apparently. So, because even now I'm looking on my, I'll sit back and I'll play just the songs I bought. And I've only bought like maybe 15 songs off of the iStore. You know, when I travel, I got the little Nano with me. I just put the earbuds in, just sit back and listen. But I also have The Walking Dead because I've been downloading it to keep up with it. Because my hotel, although it says it has AMC, it's actually Turner Classic Movies. Blech. Well,
hey,
they got some good movies there. But when you want,
I will not allow you to disparage my favorite TV channel.
Okay. When you want Walking Dead, some black and white tart just doesn't do it. You know what I'm saying?
I suppose, but if I had to choose between the two, Turner Classic every day of the week.
Yeah, I'd give you that, because Turner Classic's got some fun stuff on it. But damn it, I want Dead. But I found out I can download it, but it's in my computer now for good. So I, when I'm playing my music, as soon as I get to song number 16, I hear some screaming. Ah! I look at it, what? Oh, no. The monitor just kicked in. I'm watching Walking Dead again. So there's like two episodes left. We're recording on the 10th, so that means tonight will be the second to last episode.
No, tomorrow, the 11th.
The 11th? Oh.
Yeah, it's on a Sunday.
Oh, that's right. Oh, okay, so what that means is Monday I can go buy it, and it takes approximately 16 hours to download 1 hour of television.
Holy cats!
This, you know,
high-speed dial-up internet.
High-speed internet, my ass. No, I don't know. The hotel, you know, we got high-speed internet. Okay, let's sit down and watch some Netflix. Choppy, you know, torn up. I can't even go listen to my favorite song, Porn Star Dancing, because it just, you know, it's on YouTube and you can't, the other thing is it's on that, what's that, Velro service? Most YouTube videos you can, you know, start and hit pause and it'll load so you can watch the whole thing no matter how long it loads. Not Velro, no, it's got to stop and start with you, even though it doesn't give you one continuous video to watch.
Sons of bitches.
That's what I get. That's what I'm talking about. Even under ideal conditions, people have trouble in locating their car keys in their pocket, finding the cell phone, pinning the tail on the donkey. But I bet everyone can find and push the snooze button from 3 feet away in about 1.7 seconds, eyes closed first time, every time.
I've been smart about my snooze. I put the alarm clock far enough away that I would have to get out of bed, and then I put it under something. So it's like, oh, God, where? There. Well, I'm up.
Yeah. See, I don't.
You don't think that far ahead, do you?
No, I just get up when the damn thing rings, because I know I'm so bloody tired at 2 or 3 in the morning. Isn't that wonderful?
River dance, everyone. All right, everybody. River dance.
This will last for a while. Woo!
So who's calling?
I don't know. They got to learn not to call when I'm potting. And even I think the freezer deserves a light as well. You know, I keep some people's phone number in my phone just so I know not to answer when they call. Anyways, what the hell? Where are we? Are we freaking?
We're doing geeking.
Oh, we're geeking too.
Well, yeah, we're talking about Walking Dead. We might as well.
Geeking about our freaking.
Yeah. Walking Dead is one that I don't even wait till I get home on Sunday night to watch. I'm usually doing the overnight, and AMC runs it four times.
Oh, yeah.
So there I am, 2 a.m. I've got all the cleaning done, all this. It's okay. I take the TV because normally I let the other staff just have the TV. I have my laptop. I don't, you know, they've been there longer. But Sunday nights, nope, I watch Walking Dead. And the most recent episode, the episode from this week, boy, was that a departure from the comic.
Yeah. Did you want to throw up a spoiler warning so we can just talk and if anybody hasn't watched it?
Sure. Spoiler warning. So if you haven't seen Walking Dead yet or don't want to know what's going on, I would
or
say skip ahead.
If you haven't read the comic book and you don't want you're waiting to.
Skip ahead to the 45 minutes.
Yep. But
they killed him.
And you know what's funny? We're talking about Carl. He's kind of he's almost like the Greek chorus because he'll say things. And he's used kind of as a plot device. I still don't buy the idea that he was the first one to figure out that Shane killed Otis, you know, at the beginning of the season. You know, he would do things like, you know, he heard there were walkers in the barn and then he just claimed, well, I was walking by and I heard them, you know. So he was kind of like the clutch guy just to keep the series going. You know, if they needed to move the plot forward a little bit. And of course he was the moral guy who, you know, the big episode where they caught some bobo. They don't know where he's from. He knows where the farm is. He was affiliated with a gang that basically runs around pillages and rapes and, you know, they're bad guys. They're
Vikings.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm having a football flashback. But anyways, they don't know what to do with the guy because they don't want to let him go. They don't trust him. And they want to just kill him. And of course, Dale is aghast at that idea because he's like, you know, we're barely hanging on to humanity the way it is. If we're going to let it go, what's the point? He's on the losing side of the battle. So he does what every bobo does when you happen to lose an argument. In the pitch black in a farm, you walk around the field. And he finds a cow that's been pretty much gutted. And he figures out that this had to have been a zombie. Well, in typical television fashion, he turns around and the zombie just happened to be right behind him. You know, you can hear these damn things 20 miles away because of their moaning and groaning, but apparently in a still night in the middle of a dark farm, they don't make noise until they're right behind you. I mean, the things spot you a mile away and they're like, ah, ah, but this one was like a stealth zombie. Well, of course, background music playing, you probably couldn't have heard it anyways, but that's a different subject.
This zombie was also one that had been kind of
taunted
and teased earlier in the episode, which means that the character who did that's going to be feeling a whole lot of guilt.
Now, see, we talk a little bit about how it departs from the comic. And in all honesty, I thought this would be the episode when Carl, you know, got not Carl. What's the little kid's name?
Little kid's name is Carl. The character who died, the older guy Dale. With the RV, Dale.
Dale.
So you got him mixed up.
I got him mixed up. So cross out.
You're drinking again, aren't you? You're using that Alaska liquor license you've got.
No, it's aspartame in the all the diet drinks I have. Apparently, you know, to talk a little bit about freaking, there's a little bit of, apparently they pour two things into Diet Cola and they go in, they're not cancerous and it makes caramel coloring. But when they get in the cola, it becomes a cancerous material, causes like 12,000 plus deaths a year of cancer. But the FDA doesn't regulate that because, well, when it went into the cola, it wasn't cancerous. So I'm
feeling, well, here's my feeling on that. And I don't think there's anything that makes me think irony more than when someone I knew who smokes a pack of cigarettes a day and was smoking at the time she told me this, puffing away on a cigarette, telling me my diet soda will kill me. I'll listen to that.
I'll listen. Yeah, that's the same guy. Yeah, two Big Macs, large fry, two pies, and a Diet Cola, please.
And by the way, while I'm eating all this stuff, I'm going to talk to you about how you're out of shape and pudgy.
So, yeah, talk about Walking Dead. So anyways, Dale died. Carl, the kid, taunted a zombie. And it was kind of interesting because Carl picked up a gun. He's basically been morose. He's been mouthing off people. There's a scene where when Rick goes to dispatch of the guy we were talking about from that they picked up, the gang kid, as he's got the gun to his head, Carl looks in the barn and goes, "Do it, Dad," which pretty much shocks everybody. And in the comic book, Carl, I believe, is the one who takes out Shane, wasn't it, in the beginning?
Yes.
And I'm behind on the comic by about 10 issues, but he's turned into basically a little hard ass in the comic. So I'm thinking the real shock would have been is, okay, Carl's got the gun. He goes out, taunts the zombie. I was expecting him to shoot the zombie, get a smile. And while everybody's in the house debating what to do with this kid, they hear bam, and they go in and they find out Carl just blew this kid away, which I think would have been pretty sweet. But they went a different direction, and then the moral conscience of the group, Dale, ends up getting gutted. I mean, I thought he was going to survive. He's holding the zombie off. The zombie's not biting him. But apparently zombies can, like, reach into your gut and just, you know, eviscerate you.
Well, they talk about that a little on Talking Dead, which is the discussion show afterwards.
I'd like to hear about that.
What it is, the zombies, they're not restrained. They're stronger than us because they don't have the mental restraint. And also, you know, after you die, your skin pulls back, so your fingernails appear to grow longer. They showed that the zombie's hands were kind of worn down from him trying to escape from the mud. So it's almost like he had bony claws instead of hands. And that's why he was able to just do that, which I think is the goriest thing I've seen on basic cable.
I think when they were pulling him out of the well, that was pretty.
That was pretty bad too. But that was a zombie who. It's not the same as a living person, story-wise, to me. So it was a very gory episode. And for those people who say, "Oh, there aren't enough zombies in it," well, you got your zombies.
Yeah, and there's still two episodes to go, and more deaths to come.
Yep, and. One of the problems is one of the deaths has been spoiled due to pilot season because one of the actors is signed up to do another series in the fall.
I didn't hear. See, because what happened was...
I'm not going to spoil that, so... And with that, we're done with the spoilers.
See, I don't want to know because before I realized I could download the episodes, I was trying to avoid everything on Facebook about Walking Dead. And then somebody came up with, "Oh, poor Carl. I can't believe he did what he did." And that's what got me thinking. The whole thing I was thinking, "Oh my God, he must have blown him away," which is what I was expecting. You know, when Dale got cacked, that was, that and what Daryl did, you know, it was amazing. You know, Rick couldn't do it and Daryl did it. And he was like, "Sorry, brother."
Yeah, that was pretty amazing, to be honest. Good episode all around. I know that there are some people who are saying, "This season's boring, this season's dull." If you read the comic, you'll go issues without any zombie attacks or even zombie sightings. Mm-hmm. which I don't have a problem with.
You know, and the other thing, too, is that they, I just reading, you know, I read the episode, or I watch the episode, and then I, what I used to do is my wife and I would watch Talking Dead, and then we'd talk about it, and then I'd go to bed, and I'd have some type of weird dreams, you know, not zombie dreams. I mean, back in the 80s, you know, nuclear war was the big worry. So I'd always have dreams that, okay, the bombs dropped, now I got to figure out how to get home, or, you know, environmentally radiation proof my house or whatever. But what I find is I'm having like chase dreams, like I'm being chased, or it's imperative I get to A to B, whatever. But I don't like watching Walking Dead and then going to bed, because I know I'm going to have a rough night's sleep, you know, which is nice, because now I'll come home from work, watch it at 1 p.m. and, you know, I still have goofy dreams, but I can at least sleep. Especially after the last that one. But people online are like, oh, I can't believe they killed Dale. You know, it's so different. He was so much better in the comic. Now we'll never see Dale and the hot blue-eyed chick who doesn't like him get together. And he'll never be like this, and he'll never be like that. It's like the people on the, at least where I'm haunting, all they do is they're comparing it to the comic. If I want to see a movie ape the comic, I'll just rewatch Watchmen. And I liked Watchmen. You know, they're fun. They're two different realities. I'm kind of bummed about the idea that, oh, the governor's showing up next season, because, you know, unless they do something really outrageous, it's going to be hard for me to, you know, what they did with the governor in the comic versus what they might do on the show, you know. Unless the governor ends up being Daryl's brother, you know. Then I'll just go, oh, come on.
Well, we'll see what we see.
Exactly. Kind of like WWE.
The other thing I'm freaking about, and this will lead into Tales from the Shop, believe it or not.
Doesn't Tales from the Shop have a sponsor?
Yes. BroomhildaMusic.com, which is the website for Chris B., who's an acoustic singer-songwriter. She has an album out called It Was You. And she sponsors Tales from the Shop, and she even wrote the theme, which is right here. So go to her website, sign up for the mailing list, and if you live out on the West Coast, she will soon be doing gigs on the West Coast now that she's moved out there and getting all settled in and starting to sign up places where she can perform. I'm just going to read this directly from Heidi McDonald's site, thecomicsbeat.com. It was quietly announced to retailers yesterday that Marvel will be changing all of their $2.99 titles to the self-cover format beginning in April.
And what does self-cover mean?
Self-cover means that the paper of the cover is the same as the paper on the interior pages.
Oh, so it doesn't mean you're singing a song that you yourself sang once upon a time when you were singing covers about yourself. Truth be told, this sounds a lot bigger change than it is.
However, I've seen, Fantastic Four and FF.
Yeah, those are the two examples. So if you want to see what we're talking about, go check them out.
And one of the other books, all of the Ed Brubaker self-owned stuff is published that way. Criminal, Incognito, and the new book, Fatale, which if you're not buying Fatale, that'll be my geek for next week because the third issue came out. They're also done in that format. I got to be honest. I don't like that format. I don't like it because the cover, I think the cover should have a little more substance to it just because it feels more like a comic, damn it. It's like when you buy a glossy magazine and sometimes the cover's just a little thicker paper stock, and the ones where it's the same, it just doesn't feel the same. It's a tactile thing.
And I will.
And I'm sorry. I like my tactile things.
I will go the other way because, to me, I didn't even notice until I read the article online. I was on the comicsbeat.com, and you know, I get the glossy paper stuff. What I don't like about the glossy paper, and I beefed about this a while back, is when you got like a solid black cover, and pick it up, and all of a sudden, bam, you just put your fingerprint on that sumbitch for eternity.
And now everybody knows who bought the comic.
Exactly. I hate those. You know, and I'm kind of like, if you're going to do it, don't make a solid black cover. But, you know, reading Fantastic Four and FF, and I actually have a copy of FF here with me, I really didn't notice the difference. Didn't make any difference to me one way or the other. I wouldn't, you know, I mean, I notice sometimes when I look at some of my older comics, the old-fashioned newsprint, especially when it would bleed through. I mean, if you remember the finale of the Great Darkness Saga when Supergirl was winding up to pound Darkseid a new one, and as she's coming close, you see all these concentric circles going around, and I'm thinking, wow, she's really cranking at this guy. And then you flip the cover. No, it was the Maze ad on the other side that it flipped the page. It's still a cool effect, but it wasn't intentional. You know, I'd be happy if they could lower the price and go back to the old-fashioned newsprint.
Oh, no.
Well, I think you covered it.
You know, people say that, and there are two reasons why it won't happen.
Well, it's the old-fashioned newsprint's more expensive than what they're publishing on now.
And the paper is the cheapest part of the comic. The $3.99 books are $3.99 not because they're printed better or anything. It's because the talent involved gets paid more.
And we would buy it regardless.
Yeah. You know, Brian Michael Bendis has a higher page rate than, say, Bob Jones. So they're going to jack that price. If you look at the books that are $3.99 at Marvel, they're all either written or drawn by people who are under an exclusive contract, have been there a while, and get a higher page rate. But the whole thing of Marvel going through another round of cost cutting, and one thing that is very quietly not being talked about, the reason comics are 32 pages with a cover is because the number of pages in a comic has to be divisible by 8, because that's how the paper is folded and how the printer works and everything. And I'm thinking that if they're going to a self-cover, they might be cutting 4 pages out of the book. So you'll get the cover and then 28 pages interior. That'll bring it up to 32. And with Marvel, they've already cut the number of story pages in the books. I would not be surprised if this is them cutting 4 pages out of the books for the $2.99 books. But the reason this goes into Tales from the Shop is Marvel still has some $2.99 books, but the majority of their line is $3.99. And I remember back when I worked at Schindler's, indie books were either $1.50 or $2, and Marvel's were $1. And even into the 90s when Joe had his shop, you know, when Marvel books were $1.99, most indie books were $2.50 or $3. And one of the excuses they always use, that people always use not to try indie books, is they're so much more expensive than Marvel books.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I would ask Joe, what were some of the excuses people would give you not to buy independent books? I know that Gru always, they black and white. Yeah, I know, like,
I'm not like a black and white. Some guys, you know, it was, I think of the two extremes. We had one guy who bought every single DC, and then when Wildstorm was bought by DC, he was like, well, I don't want to have to go get the back issues. And you're like, why? The back issues were Image. I wouldn't pick them up anyways. Then there was a Marvel guy who, you know, he said the same thing. If they dropped the price, well, Malibu rebooted their universe and put everything at $1.50, and they started sprinkling Marvel characters in it, so the biggest one being Juggernaut hanging out with the Exiles. And
the Phoenix.
The Phoenix thing later, and I think there was some spider baby thingy running around Prime. I got to pick up these issues again. But, you know, it was like, well, they're doing what you want. They dropped the price. Yeah, but they're not Marvel books. Well, they are. It's owned by Marvel, and they're tying in Marvel characters. You know, Godwheel even had Loki in it, you know, and brought Thor over. But, you know, the bottom line was, he was a Marvel guy. It didn't matter what Marvel published. He wasn't buying necessarily all Marvels. He was just buying the Marvel universe. Wasn't buying, Ultimate Line. Wasn't buying, any of the other lines. Just the Marvel proper. Some guys would come in and they'd be like, you know, what's new? Okay, well, I'd show them this, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Okay, what about this? Blah, blah, blah. Eh. Well, here, buy this one. Is it any good? I said, no, it's a piece of crap, but you're saying no to all the good stuff, you know? So, you know, I think what it is you, unless you're proactive and you're looking for something to take you outside your comfort zone, you're going to buy what you're comfortable with. I know there's probably science fiction out there that would be, you know, I would read and go, my gosh, that's the coolest thing I've ever read. But I picked up the latest Star Trek Voyager book. Why? Because they're comfortable characters. I like the style of reading. You know, I guess this author has written them before, but it's just something I'm comfortable with. I pick up comic books. I pick up the ones I like because they're the characters I'm invested in. I want to read, kind of like a soap opera. There's the tactile sensation, like Corey and I, or Corey, you talked about just a little bit back. You know, comic book, a book feels like a comic book, newspaper, book, whatever. I know I can get them on my iPad. I know I can download them. You know, I've got all the, I think Spider-Man from Amazing Fantasy through McFarlane years on DVD. I've got all the Star Trek comics ever done on a DVD, Mad Magazine, whatever. I don't pop those in my computer and read them constantly. You know, I pick them up occasionally. When I want to read a comic book, I pick up a comic book, pick up a graphic novel. You know, it's a tactile feel. And it's certain things comics do that movies can't do, that no other medium can do. And I geek about those moments when I see them. That's pretty much it. You know, somebody may wreck it. You know, what was the, you mentioned a book just recently, number 3 came out.
Fatal.
I will pick that up as a graphic novel, but I'm not going to pick it up as a comic. Because it's not something when I sit down and read the comics, I want to read. To me, it sounds interesting enough. I want the whole story. I'll sit down and read it. I don't want to wait 30 days or 90 days or 6 years for the next one to come out. Miss Mystic, where are you?
There are some, I've talked in the past, there are some creators who burned me to the point where I only buy their stuff in book format. Sadly. Well, Seth has become one of those.
Oh.
I've been waiting for the second volume of Clyde Fans, which he started in 2007. Still waiting on that second volume. Still waiting. He's done 3 other graphic novels. Clyde Fans book 2. Still waiting.
Are you still waiting, Corey?
Yes.
Is Corey still waiting?
One of the things that I don't think these exist anymore. Maybe Joe, you can disabuse me of the notion. We had one guy at Christie's Comics, Jerome, who we've talked about, who would buy every DC.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a rarity. I'd never even heard of that before. But there was a time in the 80s, the comic shop I shopped at, and then when I went to mail order because I needed to save money, they had a box where you could check all Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd get one of every Marvel. And there was even, when Gru came to Marvel, they published a letter where the person was complaining about how much he hated Gru, about how it was a terrible comic, and he didn't think it was funny, and he hated the art, but he had to buy it because it was a Marvel book. And that's actually where the phrase Marvel Zombie came from, because, Yeah, Avenir made fun of him in the letters page for it, you know, basically saying, well, if you're going to buy it, no matter what we do, I guess we're going to be putting out extra issues. And in the Comics Buyer's Guide, somebody did a commentary on it where, you know, the zombies were coming in, must buy Marvel. We must buy Gru, even though we hate it, for it is Marvel. And when I worked at Shinders, I believe I saw the end of that phenomenon, because there were guys who came in. They would just go down the line, pick one of each Marvel, and then they'd ask, did you sell out of any Marvel books? But then when Marvel went public, they became listed on the stock market, and they doubled the number of books they did between 1989 and 1992. Mm-hmm. You know, you had the Marvel UK line. You had all the Epic line exploded. You had, you know, six new books a month. The guys who used to come in one of each Marvel, one of every Marvel, they quit coming in. It's not like they said, oh, I'll cut back to just the books that I read and enjoy. It was, nope, I'm done. Can't afford it, so I guess I just won't do it at all. Now, when you had your shops, did you have anybody who was like all Marvel or all? I know you have people who are all X-Men.
Yeah,
or
there
Spider-Man,
was one guy like that. Like, he was the guy I just talked about the Malibu story. I had more Image zombies, you know, who would come in and they just wanted all the Image. And it was guys of a certain age, and they really, 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 really just go on a few more releases, liked the artwork, because it's like they've never seen cross-hatching in their life, and they just, you know, really liked it. I don't even think they read the comics. They didn't really care. There was a few, you know, especially guys Rob Liefeld drew, that they would, oh my God, look at this. His bicep is bigger. It's not humanly possible. And he gets shot in the gut, goes forward, then goes backwards, spins around, and falls over the railing. You know, just.
I think it was
that way. I mean, he waited in line at the infamous Image tent to get Rob Liefeld's autograph, and then ripped it in half and threw it out the window. And we're like, guys, why didn't you just take it to the shop and sell it to somebody? Because it sucks. I say, yeah, wouldn't it be funnier though to get someone who thinks it's the greatest thing since sliced cheese and you've autographed it and get it $20 for him? No. Now, the funny thing was, half of the comics.
Okay, I gotta ask, who was that? Was that Dave?
That was Dave.
Okay, that's what I thought.
His pictures in the, I believe his pictures are in the various hot comics pictures I posted. But he, what was funny
Dave
about
Dave always cracked me up.
We were up in about the fourth floor, I think, of the hotel, and one half of the comic landed on the ground. The other half landed on the ledge. Somebody picked up the half a comic and started freaking. Oh my God, this is so cool. And he was running around looking for the other half of the comic. And we just sat there and looked and like, oh, that ain't happening. I wish I knew which half it was. The half that was autographed. My recollection was the autograph half happened to be on the top, and the bottom half was, it was Youngblood too, you know, so it was funny. Ah, good times.
And then when Image, it was funny when Image stopped, it wasn't just kind of a slow trickle off. It was all of a sudden, it was just Image died.
Well, yeah, I mean, we talk about, you know, Image was so easy to order. Okay, 300 Spawn, 300 Wildcats.
100 of everything else.
100 of everything else. Well, this thing, 1963, maybe we'll get 50. Trekker, well, maybe 50. You know, it was like a no-brainer. X-Men was the same way. 300, Superman, 300. And that was beyond subscribers, you know. Like Superman, Death of Superman, we had like 300-plus people that wanted it. About maybe 100 of them were just, I want Superman. And then, you know, as when Superman came back, then they all canceled. I think that was the.
Oh, he's alive again? Screw that. I didn't want to read about Superman.
Because they stopped the publishing and then they came back. And I said, well, just wait till the comeback and then you'll have the rest of the story. And, you know, they milked it for a while. I did have one guy we inherited from the old shop. All he wanted was Superman. I would hold him for him. I'd call him quarterly. When I sold the shop, he just canceled. He said, nope, it's been a fun run. And I was like, well, you know, the guy I bought the shop from was getting it back. He said, no, just cancel. I'm just going to cut it loose here. You know, he said he'd been collecting them. He hadn't read them for a few years. And, you know, he thought it was nice that I would hold it for him. I said, okay, that was cool. But it always struck me that more people were thinking, how do I cut back? How do I get back out of comics? Then, you know, maybe I should go look or find something neater, you know?
Or something, you know, I'm not liking this stuff. Maybe I should find something I like.
Mm-hmm.
And I always point to one of the guys involved in the convention, Brian, who he would complain and complain and complain and complain that comics weren't like the ones that he wanted. You know, he liked the stuff from the Silver Age much, much better. And he would just complain about it. But then when the Silver Age reprints, and it would be reprinting stuff he didn't have, he'd go, I don't want to buy those. And it was almost like, well, there's no pleasing. For me, there were some books that when I hit a certain point, it's, you know what, I've outgrown this. You know, this was written for somebody who's 12. I'm 19 or 20 now. I'm going to go look for other stuff. Oh, look, First is publishing. Oh, look. Pacific is publishing. Oh, look, Eclipse is publishing.
Mm-hmm.
And I always feel that point when there are people who, well, why, with the Spider-Man marriage, there were people who, why does Spider-Man have to be married? Why can't he be like he was when I read him? And then when Spider-Man's marriage went away, it was people, oh, why does Spider-Man have to be like he was in the 70s? Why can't he be like when I read him?
Yep, and you know, you and me were laughing because every so often we'll say something for that like that, and then we'll go, oh geez, we're becoming Brian.
Yeah, but the thing,
no offense to Brian if he's listening,
it that means it's not for you anymore.
Yeah,
I was talking with some friends last weekend who were very, very nice and took me out to eat and took me to a place that had 250 different kinds of tea. Meanwhile, my regular coffee shop no longer has tea at all.
You said you wouldn't bring that up here.
I will bring it up every time until they get tea back.
I don't even think they listen to the podcast.
They will if I bring it in and play it.
No, that's narcissistic. I'm not saying don't do it. You know, we need to spread the word as much as we can. Just saying.
But I was talking about how the new DC, it feels like 90s comics. They're bringing in all these 90s creators, and I've lost interest. You know, with my budget being very limited as I look for a job in my field, I'm not really going, oh, I've got to have these DC books.
Got to have.
No, it's more, they just rebooted and I didn't care and they're already changing creative teams and Rob Liefeld's writing 3 books. Yeah, I'll go over and read Fantastic Four. Does that mean the DC books are horrible and terrible and they should be burned? No, they're just not for me.
Oh, sorry.
They're just not for me.
Wrong answer on that one.
Well, not as angry as I was back in the 90s when I would tear up comics on TV.
You know, bad decisions make some good stories. And, you know, I do recall mid-90s. We got to remember this shit because we're going to do a podcast someday.
And I just looked at you and said, what's a podcast? You said, shut up.
I don't know. It just came up.
Shut up. Keep bagging books, fanboy.
ECW's on.
And ECW's still on. Well, you don't get it, but I do with the WWE Classics on demand.
I'm having a my own personal comic Tales of the Shop moment. One of the things I loved Cracked.com. Funniest stuff I've ever seen, you know, because it's basically
weird because the magazine sucked.
There were glimpses. There were sometimes when they would do a parody of Mork and Mindy that the parody was funnier than the actual show. And then of course
I bought it for John Severin's art and that's it.
I think it was Bill Ward that did the interviewer with the huge tatas.
Yeah.
And then later I found out I could find pictures he drew that were what I was thinking of at that particular time with the lady with the big, never mind. Anyways, Scratch.com. I'm reading this article, the 50 most unintentionally hilarious bootleg toys. And the first one up is Robert Cop. It's a silly Photoshop thing, but it's a RoboCop toy bootleg that we actually sold in the and I hit this and I go, oh my god, it looks like a silly Photoshop, but it's true. It didn't say RoboCop, it said Robert Cop, and I'm now, like, oh my god, I remember selling this thing.
Here's my question, and just so you know, Joe, the statute of limitations has passed.
Robert was a good officer. He never murdered entire houses, warehouse full of drug dealers, you know. But
now the statute of limitations has passed, so you can answer this. Where did you get that?
I think it inherited it. It was one of the things that, you know, when I bought the store from Brian, that it was just there. And it was one of those things like, what the hell am I going to do with this, Robert? I wish I kept it now, but...
Because, well, when you bought the shop, they also had bootleg VHS tapes, too. And I always wondered, where do you get stuff like that?
Yeah.
The one I remember, the only one I bought this bootleg Ren and Stimpy. It was the episodes that weren't aired. And now if you buy the DVD set, they're all on there, too. So, but I always wondered, where does this stuff come from? Who leaked this before the internet? Because with the internet... everything is leaked.
Yeah.
They've been talking about CDs being available through torrent sites a month before they're available in stores. And all I can think is, well, somebody in the record company's got to be leaking that then. Well, we've gone completely off the wheels.
We have. What were we talking about? Oh, we were talking about Marvel and their goofy paper change.
Yeah.
I don't care.
No, sir.
To me,
I don't like it.
To me, it doesn't matter.
Well, and I'll be honest, when I get the new full-time job, I'm probably going to switch over completely to trades and hardcovers, so it won't matter to me.
And I got to say, MapQuest really needs to start directions at number 5. I'm pretty sure I know how to get out of my own neighborhood.
Well, I don't know, Joe. I've ridden in a car with you before.
Yeah, but I thought you did like that.
You can eventually get out of your own neighborhood.
All I do is take left turns for you. You know, I avoid any right turns.
Well, kids, believe it or not, you've wasted a little over an hour of your life listening to us babble on about funny books.
I don't think we're going to pull out a 90-minute one. We'll give you a break this week.
Well, we're awful darn close. We're at an hour and 15.
Yeah, we won't go any farther.
So I just want to remind everybody that the comment.
I want you to remember, life is like a roll of toilet paper. The closer it gets to the end, the faster it goes.
And I'm going to stick with the comic that we like the least. We still like better than the comic you like the most.
Except Death Man.
He's gonna puke.